Inside the Huddle with Sky Sports, Neil Reynolds and Jeff Rimbo.
Yes, hello and welcome to a bonus edition of the Inside the Huddle podcast, sponsored by DraftKings.co.uk, the home of one-day fantasy football. We are back for an extra edition this week because myself, Neil Reynolds and Jeff Rimbold have a very special guest with us. And Jeff, he's a man close to your heart, a man you coach, so why don't you introduce him?
Well, I'll tell you what, he's one of the best football players I've ever coached. And one of the most fun guys I've ever coached. And there were some moments where he pissed me off. I mean, I know I pissed him off a little bit too. But here was a guy that loved to play. You talk about young players. You want young players that love to practice and want to get better. Every single day we went on the field, this guy worked his butt off to become a player. And you know, I'm going to say this, and I probably embarrass him a little bit when I say it, but there are a lot of people that looked at him and said, that guy is never going to play in the National Football League. But he's a phenomenal athlete, even though he's not very big. He's a phenomenal athlete. He's a great competitor. He's got tremendous hands and spot quickness and toughness and all the qualities you look for in a football player. Cole Beasley.
Cole, that's the longest introduction in the history of pro football. How do you live up to that? Welcome to the show.
Hey. Well, he knows a lot. I've been with him for a while, or I got to spend four years with him. So I appreciate it, and I'm not really embarrassed. Everything he said was true about nobody really expecting me to do it, but that's what got me where I am.
Cole, you know, take us now again. Your journey is such a special story because you had committed to play at SMU prior to our staff coming on board, and then we came in and you hung with your commitment and you know. Played with us, and it was such a unique time at SMU because we had four receivers at the same time that all made it on NFL teams. Darius Johnson with the Falcons, Emmanuel Sanders who's tearing it up in Denver, and, Aldrick Robinson who was with Washington and was with Baltimore. And then you four guys were really a unique bunch of guys to have at a school that really had suffered and for an awful long time.
Right, and it's good to see guys getting a shot like that after the program's been down for a long time, and I still enjoy watching Emmanuel every day, and I got to play against Aldrick a few times, and Darius Johnson as well, so it's just good to see guys succeeding from there, and hopefully you'll see more in the future from there too.
Do you think that playing in that offense where you had to do so much route adjustment and so much reading coverage, do you think that gave you an advantage when you went to the National Football League?
I think so. You know, a little bit was me playing quarterback before I got there. And, you know, my dad being my coach, he helped me a lot with coverages early. So I was pretty familiar with coverages coming out of high school. And I think that's part of the reason why I actually got to play early with SMU with y'all. And then just June being a pro guy, and he did a good job of getting us prepared for the league. And you know, it actually was the offense was a little bit more complex at times than the one I am in now. So I really feel like that helped me adjust coming in the league a lot.
Cole, you mentioned and Jeff mentioned your size, and you mentioned probably having to prove yourself early on. Was there a case of that? Not on the field necessarily, but was it a difficult transition in terms of proving to people what you thought you could do?
I don't think it was. I mean, it was difficult just as far as them wanting to believe, I guess. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, for me, it was never that difficult just because I believed in myself more than anybody else did. And, any time I had, like, a negative play or anything, I'm harder on myself than anybody else is, so... I don't really think it was that difficult for me as it was for other people to accept it.
Coach sitting next to me always says the more you can do, the longer you last in the NFL. And players don't always like to be labeled, but we do see you making a lot of plays out of the slot. Tell us, I mean, it seems like every NFL team is trying to find a slot receiver who can attack the middle of the field. Tell us about what you can do from the slot position and really what coaches like Jeff would be looking for in a slot receiver.
Well, I mean, that's just what I've been most familiar with since, you know, I played slot the whole time, and I maybe just had a few snaps of outside, but it wasn't very many. But I mean, that doesn't mean that I don't think I could play out there or not, but that's just where I'm most comfortable and where I've been most successful. But just having short area quickness is the biggest thing in there for me. I mean, there's different guys have different qualities, and they just got to know how to use their strengths to their advantage. And mine is just lateral quickness. And I'm not exactly a burner, but I got enough speed to run past people using my quickness to make them think I'm running a different route. I try to make all my routes look the same. And if all of them marry up to each other, it makes you a hard guy to cover. And, you know, just being in there with all them backers and everything, and, you know, if there's zone coverage, it's good to know where the holes are in the defense. That's why it's good when Jeff Reinbold was talking about learning coverages and stuff as far as being in the run-and-shoot offense. That's why it's helped me so much in the league, just being familiar with coverages and knowing where guys are at. It helps me not only to get open, but it helps me to know where they're coming from for after the catch so I can make guys miss. So I think that's a unique quality to have for a guy. You know, it's kind of like, it's not like playing quarterback because it's obviously more difficult, but I mean, every time I line up to snap, I'm like a quarterback looking to see, you know, I'm narrowing down what coverages it could be. And I'm trying to rule out certain coverages and know, I mean, because it's all about, it's not where they line up, it's where they wind up. Reinbold has told me that for a long time, and I still use that to this day. So,
Cole, he used that line on our show on TV here in the UK just last Sunday. Mm-hmm. He used that.
You're killing me, Bees. You're using all my lines, damn it.
Yes, sir. Hey, the truth, though. Shit.
You know what? As I watched you, now this is my own personal opinion, when I watched you go to your first training camp and, you know, make that transition into pro football, and had an opportunity to get a hold of some training camp tape, and I thought when I knew you were going to make it was when I watched the interaction that you have with Romo. And, you know, we talk about being a receiver who's quarterback friendly, right? A guy that can – you have an amazing confidence from him, especially when you're just a young rookie, that he had so much faith in you. And talk about that. Talk about the relationship that you guys have.
Well, I think it just comes from showing them you can make plays and you belong in this league, and, you know, you can do some things for them. So I got in here in camp, and I was able to beat a few guys and get open and catch balls for them. And, you know, anytime you can do that, you know, quarterback's going to be more friendly to you. So I really think we just kind of developed a relationship early because of that. And then, you know, Miles got banged up a little bit and we had a few injuries early, so I got to play with the ones in preseason for a little bit, and had to be in there with him. And, you know, I didn't make very many mistakes. I was where I was supposed to be, and anytime you're where you're supposed to be, and the quarterback knows where you're at, and he can hit you and you catch it, you know, he's gonna like you. So that's how I kind of developed a relationship with him early. And, you know, we just talked about stuff, and, you know, I always want to figure out where his head's at, so I know where he wants me to be. You know, I don't know if every guy really does that, but that was my approach to it. And, you know, he's a smart football player, and he realized I was pretty smart too. So, you know, we kind of hit it off from the beginning.
And Cole, it was a difficult season for Tony Romo. Of course, we know about his injuries and what that did to him personally, but also to your team. As I'm, you know, I was out in your training camp. We did a couple of filming pieces together in the preseason. There were such high hopes, and I'm sorry, we've had such a nice conversation, but I feel like I have to ask you about this season. And it was, how was it? I mean, it must have been challenging. Will you tell us what it was like in that locker room in Dallas?
No, it was definitely rough, man, because, you know, we had a few unfortunate things happen, but, you know, we're not to make any excuses or anything, but we didn't end up where we wanted to be. You know, we obviously had way higher expectations of where we ended up, and, you know, no guy was happy in that locker room, but, you know, it's kind of a, I mean, it's bad for us as far as the record goes, but it is a good thing to, you know, just see how committed every guy is. You know, and you would never tell we were a 4-12 team if you came to watch us practice, man. The guys fought hard and every game, and we came in and worked every day. And part of that goes to Garrett. You know, he kind of instilled that in us to fight, keep fighting. So that was kind of our mantra for the whole season. I'm really just glad to be a part of this team. Like the record doesn't really matter as much. I mean, it does, but it doesn't. I'm just really, really proud to be a part of these guys. I've never been with a group that worked so hard through so many negative, you know, circumstances. So it is actually a real, real good thing to see.
For you and the rest of the Cowboys, Cole, what do you take out of this season going forth to 2016 and say, you know, this is going to help us get better? What will you carry forward, and what do you want to leave behind?
I mean, I hope everybody carries forward this record and just, you know, the hurt that we had along with it and disappointment to motivate every guy to go out there and work harder and harder each day in this offseason, you know, keep grinding to get better. And I hope it just, I mean, it pushes me more than anything. I mean, I know I feel like I didn't play as well as I could have all season. And so, I mean, that hurts me that I couldn't give my team my best efforts. It's just motivator, man, just motivation to grind and keep getting better and work hard this offseason and come back and make the next one the best one.
Cole, do you guys in the locker room, do you hear the noise outside the building? I know you're kind of trained to be in a bubble and concentrate on what you're doing, but, you know, Coach Garrett was supposedly on a hot seat. I mean, I think we'll all be happy to see him back in 2016. I know myself and Jeff have, you know, spoken very highly of him in the past. You know, you're in the building with him every day. You know what he's like. But do you kind of hear that chatter? Does it? I guess it doesn't make you play harder, because from what you're saying, everyone was playing hard right till the very end anyway.
Right. I mean, there's always going to be chatter outside. You know, it's hard to keep everything inside the building. But, you know, that's the media. They make it like that for you. But, you know, we know he's a great coach, and we know he's still going to be here. So, and you just kind of block out the noise, and you stay within the group and stay within the team, because, you know, those are your brothers and those are your extended family. So, and those are the guys you're having blood, sweat, and tears with every day throughout the grind in the season. So that's who we listen to more than anybody is our own guys and everybody in our circle. So, I'm looking forward to playing for him next year. I know he'll still be here. He's a great coach. I know Jerry knows that. So we're just going to move forward from this down season that we had and get back to work.
Hey, now, give our listeners a kind of an inside, a peek behind the curtain, if you will, Cole, about what a pro football player does. Now, your season ended Sunday. There's no playoffs. There's no chance at the Super Bowl. What are you going to do now going forward in this off season, personally?
Well, for the next couple weeks, I'm going to get away for a little bit and let my body heal. Everybody's probably banged up at this point. So, you take a little bit of time to heal, mentally and physically. I know I'm at my grandpa's right now. We drove down here last night.
Are you in a deer stand?
No, not right now. I'm going to be in the deer stand probably later in the week at some point though. And that's what I'll do too. So I'll get away doing that. And, me and my wife will probably go on one vacation. I know she wants to do something, cause I think we're going to start adding to the clan soon. So,
oh, congratulations. All right.
Yes, sir. We need to do that before she has to be down forever. It seems like probably for her.
Hey, I'm going to give you a little coaching. I'm going to give you a little coaching advice. You don't have to go away on a holiday to do that. I'm telling you.
No, I'm not.
He's got a young one already.
No way to do that. She just wants to have fun one last time. She can't have fun anymore, man.
All right. So we know that Cole Beasley's going to have a good off season. Let's move on. What about when do you get back into training, then, Cole?
When I get back to what?
Into training. You know, obviously before the team gets together, you guys never really. It's not like you go to training camp to get in shape. You know, you stay in shape, right?
Right. We don't have to report back to the facility with the coaches until April 18th, so we're on our own until then. So I'll probably take two or three weeks off to let my body heal. I think I got back to work too early last year, so I'm gonna try waiting like one more week, let my body heal a little bit more, and then I'll get back to it on my own and start grinding, man. It's sooner than you think. We really don't have much off time, because I mean, you got to work the whole time. You can't just not do anything. If I don't do anything, my body will shrivel up.
See, I've been letting my body heal for about 5 years, Jeff. That's why I don't come to the gym with you.
Hey, now, again, for a guy who's not very big and playing in that at the highest level with all of those big people that are so fast and so violent. How do you manage your health during the course of the season, Cole? Because, again, I don't think our listeners really have a sense of just how much work you guys have to put in. Explain what your typical day's like during the season.
Well, I've been getting up. Since I have had a few injuries, it changed a little bit for me. We had treatment at 6:30 a.m. in the morning. So our first meeting's not until 7:30, so I've had to get up at probably 5:30 for the last 3 weeks and get up there a little earlier, get treatment, and then go to meetings at 7:30 from probably 7:30 to 10:30, and then we have a walkthrough till probably 11. We start practice at 11:30, get done about 1:30, and then we have meetings at 2:45, or between the 1:30 and 2:45 window, we have to eat, lift weights, and shower up, and then you have meetings at 2:45 till 4:15, and then you're out, and then you start it all over again, and you play Sunday, obviously, and then you get one day off, and then you do it all over again.
Wow, no wonder you need a break. Cole, let's have a look at the...
Yeah, you do that. You pretty much do that from when you saw me in camp till just now, unless you make it to the Super Bowl, you do it till February.
Yeah,
it's a grinder, man.
They call it a grind, yeah. Don't they? They absolutely do. Let's have a look at the NFC playoff picture, Cole, and get your thoughts on a couple of the teams in there. And starting with the team that has taken a lot of people by surprise this year, and you scored a couple of touchdowns against them in Week 17. But tell us about the Washington Redskins, and you know, I guess Kirk Cousins has surprised quite a few people this year.
Yeah, you know, they actually are playing a lot better towards the end of the season than they were at the beginning. And, you know, that's when you want to play your best ball, and that's when you want to peak. You want to keep getting better every week. The teams that keep getting better every week are the ones that go to the Super Bowl. And nobody just stays the same the whole year. So, you know, they've obviously, you know, done pretty good on offense the past couple of weeks. They've gotten a lot better in that aspect. You know, defensively, they do a lot of different things, throw some different blitzes at you and stuff, and keep you off balance. And they've done a good job this year, man. My hat's off to them for winning the East and making it to the playoffs.
Now, that's hard for you to say. I know as a Cowboy, that's, you got to be choking on that one. But when you talk about the teams in the playoffs, right, and we talk about Washington, and a team that Cole – when you watch them, they're going the wrong way right now, and that's Green Bay. What's your take on the Packers?
You know, it's hard to, you know, talk about every team because I ain't had much time to watch much football. So, I'm not too sure about what's wrong with him. I'm no expert anyway. You know, I just play receiver. I just know a couple things about. I just know when you should catch it and when you shouldn't. Pretty much. But, you know, anytime you have a guy like Aaron Rodgers and you got guys like Randall Cobb and the receivers they got, you know, you always have a chance. So, you know, the playoffs is different. You know, guys turn it on and they really let it loose. So, you know, anything can happen. And, you know, everybody's getting paid on each team, so you never know who's going to win really on any given Sunday. All the experts can, you know, pick out who they think is going to win, but it might not go that way. You know, there's turnovers and a lot of things that can happen. It's just some crazy stuff can happen on Sunday, man.
Cole, that's an interesting point you raised actually there, because we as pundits here or fans sitting at home will watch a lot of NFL. For some people, that's their entire Sunday. They can have the red zone on. They can be watching games from around the league. So I guess as a player, you don't get to watch that much football, do you? Because once you're playing, you're either preparing or playing.
Yeah, and really, I've probably watched two games this whole year other than playing all of ours. So when I get home, I really like to get away from it and, you know, spend time with my family and my son and take it easy and really just take my mind off of football, because, you know, it's hard when you're doing it for so long in the season. You got to have a day where you can just kind of get away and get refreshed and get focused back mentally and come back to do it again.
All right, now you go against Orlando Scandrick every day in practice, and he's one of the best slot corners in the National Football League. Who are the other guys, Cole?
He's the best. He's the best slot corner in the NFL.
All right, that's good. That's first. Now,
that's
now,
the first question so, answered.
Now you can answer me. Who are the ones who are next best in the National Football League? Who are the guys that, that really compete hard and give you a headache?
You know, I actually probably the toughest one I've ever gone against. It could have just been because I was a slap rookie back then, but you know, I got to go against D'Angelo Hall in the slot. My is actually the first game I got to play a lot because you know Miles went down and got hurt, and I played the whole. I probably played three quarters. You know, he probably gave me the toughest challenge out of anybody. Granted, my routes were a little different back then. I was running a lot of drag routes. They didn't know what to do with me when Miles went hurt. Then is kind of a surprise, but. You know, he gave me a lot of different looks, and he's a smart guy. And once he kind of figures out, you know, what you do, he starts trying to take them away, and you got to adjust and do other things. And any guy that's you know, that can pick up on things like that and just, you know, learn how a guy, you know, works off the line as far as releases go and stuff like that and makes adjustments, he's going to be a good player. You know, you win in this league with – I mean, everybody's good physically, and you pretty much win in this league mentally. So, you know, he's one of the better guys that I've gone against.
Just wrapping up on the playoffs, Cole. Again, not team by team, but do you feel the stronger teams are in the NFC because Carolina and Arizona have kind of blazed a trail? Or is it always hard to say that when New England are sitting in the other conference?
Yeah, you know, they've been hot this year, the Panthers and the Cardinals. So, and the I guess the Cardinals have won like 9 or 10 in a row, haven't they?
They did. Something like that. Yeah, they lost in week 17, but that was they rested Carson.
Okay, before
but they rested Palmer, okay. And yeah, they are a hot team.
Right. You know, I don't know. Like, I mean, it's hard to say, but you know, Edelman's my favorite player in the league, so I'm gonna have to get ride with New England.
Edelman's your favorite player?
Yeah, man. You ever watched him play?
Yeah. Come on, now. You're killing me. You're killing me.
He looks like you.
You shouldn't have to ask then, man. You should know.
You're quicker than Edelman is, though.
Yeah, but I just like the way I like how gritty he is and how he plays. He is.
Let me just. I'm gonna give him high praise. He's got a lot of Cole Beasley in him.
Oh yeah, I appreciate it.
Cole, what about? Obviously, you're talking to the British listeners here. We keep getting these regular season games in London. We got three more in 2016. The Cowboys came over in 2014. I know. Again, you're in that little bubble in Texas when you're playing from week to week, but the NFL's growing and we're international now.
Right. You know, it was actually a great experience. That was my first time ever even going to London. So just to play in a place different besides the U.S. is just crazy to think because, you know, that's where football comes from. And now it's going to other places and other fans. There's a demand for football. So, it's really exciting to see, and I'm excited to see where else it will move to going forward.
Now, I'm not kidding you. I have seen, in this country, Cole, I have seen number 11 Cowboy jerseys around. So that's that's a kid that came all the way from Little Elm, Texas. And what do you have in your high school senior class, about 7 people?
No, there's actually probably like, you know, 300 or 400 probably in my class. By the time I graduated, when I got there might have been 7 people. I moved there in third grade, but no, it's crazy to think, man. Just thinking about that's crazy to me. Just because of where I came from, and you know, I always wanted to play in the NFL as a little kid, and just living out my dreams. You know, I kind of get emotional thinking about it, just because all the work you know I had to put in to get here. So
you know what, and that's really. I'll second that because I have always been, since the very first day on the practice field, a big Cole Beasley fan, will always be that because you are exactly what the National Football League needs. More guys that are passionate, that care, that are good people, and you know what? Don't ever change. And like I say on every broadcast, Just throw Bees the damn ball.
Yes, sir. I'm with you.
And Cole,
tell them the same thing, man.
And we want to see in 2016, you know, some sort of touchdown celebration that pays tribute to Jeff. I don't know. Break the flip flops out of your socks or something. Put some flip flops on in the end zone.
I would try to dye my hair blonde, but it's already blonde.
There you go. All right. Cole, we thank you for joining us. This has been a special edition of Inside the Huddle.
Enjoy the deer hunting, kill a big one, and enjoy the other part of your vacation, too. I know you will.
Yes, sir, I will.
There we go. That's Cole Beasley of the Dallas Cowboys. We thank you for joining us on this podcast.